Welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy, busy day, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest site. I'm so excited about our next guest. Former Red Sox third baseman. Spent 3 years here in Boston and made an all-star game back in 2002. It's Shea Hillenbrand. How you doing, Shea?
Awesome. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot for coming on. Very excited to have you on. And right off the bat, what are your best memories about playing in Boston? What do you remember most?
The first thing I want to say is that comes to my mind is, you know, the game-winning home run I hit off of Mariano Rivera at Fenway. But that's not what's in my heart. What's in my heart is the community of fans and the family of fans, because they make you feel like it and they treat you like that. And that's the biggest thing I miss.
Wow. And does it amaze you when you see that fan base just seemingly getting bigger and bigger and being passed on to generations as we go along here?
Yeah, definitely. I know. I mean, when I played there, I'd have little girls tell me, or fan mail from girls tell me that they're watching the Red Sox every single game since they're 3 years old with their dad. And, you know, I played for five other teams, and you just don't get that in those other markets.
Yeah. Jay, you made the All-Star game in 2002. You hit 20 homers in all that year. What was that season, that experience like for you, especially so young in your career?
It was awesome. You know, I made some adjustments. I'm pretty passionate, and you know, I'm a blue-collar player, and I fit in really well with that city. I had a red-ass type of streak to me, and wanted to run over people at second base and barrel through catchers and play my tail off every single day. So, you know, sitting on my couch in June, never watch ESPN, but flipping on the TV, and the ESPN was on, and they had the All-Star balloting for third basemen for the American League, and I was leading the All-Star balloting, and second place was Robin Ventura, and I'm like, oh my gosh, man, this is amazing.
Hey, Shay, so the curse of the Bambino hadn't been broken yet when you were playing in Boston. Did you feel that pressure as a player back then?
No. I never heard 1980. Are you kidding me right now, man?
I love it. I don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, how tough was it, though? I mean, it was like a daily basis. Did you go home and, I don't know, break a mirror? What did you do?
Well, with all due respect, it's kind of different from a player's standpoint. You know, I grew up in Southern California, a diehard Dodger fan. So, you know, the consistency of that is showing up in a third inning, leaving in a seventh to beat traffic and listening to Vince Cole on the radio. So, you know, playing for Boston was my first taste of real baseball and culture and family. And, you know, you take it personal. I remember when I found out that I made the All-Star game in 2002, and all the reporters came up to me, all the media came up to my locker after the game, and it just so happened to be a game that I believe we lost to the Yankees, and I didn't even want to talk about it, you know, about the All-Star game, the personal accolades. I wanted to win, and I wanted to beat those Yankees because they suck.
We like our guests to be honest. So that's good. And then, of course, everything changes. And the dose of reality in 03, you get traded in May to the Diamondbacks by Theo Epstein. I mean, what were the emotions like when you got traded after all the things you went through in Boston?
It was super bittersweet, and I was the first guy Theo Epstein ever traded. And I kind of went through some challenges my whole career, my personal life that nobody knew about, and it's just personal stuff that we go through. And you know, when I was on the plane from Boston to Toronto, we were going to go up there for a 3-game set. Johnny Damon comes to my seat and he says, "We just traded you to Arizona." I'm like, wow. Seriously, dude. I was leading the team with RBIs. I had 49 RBIs at the time. It's May 29th. And Theo Epstein called me up to his hotel room, and I'm sitting across from him in like a business chair, and he proceeds to tell me at 28 years old, this Harvard little kid, you know, what he thinks about Boston and the Red Sox. And I just wanted to jump out of my chair with all honesty and choke the dude. Because it's like, I felt like, dude, I'm Boston. You're not Boston. You know, so I got traded, and little did we know that he went and won the World Series for the Cubs, and this guy actually knows what he's talking about.
Who knew?
But, you know, I more so felt bad for Nomar because he was the second guy that got traded, and he was traded in July. He's been there for 9 years. Mm. He's missed the Red Sox, and they win it that year, and I felt bad for him.
Shay, before social media, how does Johnny Damon find out before you do that you're getting traded?
Man, we got the secrets, brother. We got it, man. We know all the insight, you know, but I just didn't want to face it because, like I said, I seriously felt like I got divorced, you know, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, I got kicked in the gut. Not because of who I was or how I was playing. It's like, dude, like, Boston is the place to play. You know, and I feel like that's the last true time that Shea Hillenbrand represented himself on the field. Every time after that, you know, for four or five more years, I just struggled, man.
You know, Shea, I'll take me back one answer, because you said you're talking to Theo. You wanted to jump up out of the chair and choke him. Can I ask what happened with your old manager, John Gibbons? What happened there? Because you guys kind of had a disagreement too, didn't you?
Yeah, I know who that is.
What are you talking about, Arnie?
People always talk to me about that. That's hilarious. You know, I mean, I got to write a book. I'm almost to the point where I'm going to write a book, and very interesting, the stuff that I've done when I play. Like I said, I struggle with character. I struggle with my identity as a person. And, you know, at 14 years old, I told myself a story that I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, my dad doesn't love me, and I wanted to become an overachiever through athletics. So at that time, I'm playing in Toronto. It's my free agent year, and I'm not playing. You know, I'm going into my free agency as a DH and struggling with a lot of personal stuff. Toronto's like in fourth place. The team was kind of in disarray. The environment of the clubhouse is kind of like circus life. And that was a very difficult environment to be in for myself when I came up with the Red Sox culture. 5 years in the minor leagues, 2.5 years in the show with the Sox in Boston. And going to Toronto was just, you know, with a minor league manager, it's his first manager experience in the big leagues. And, you know, I personally was not able to be in a position to handle that. And he called me out one day in the clubhouse, and, you know, another time where I had to, you know, I take full accountability for everything I did. I wasn't a good teammate. I wasn't good to be around. I was miserable. I was putting up tremendous numbers. But when I walked away from the field or when I went in the clubhouse, I just struggled in my personal life. I couldn't understand how to become a peak performer off the field, just on the field.
Shea, you mentioned Johnny Damon. You mentioned Nomar. Who was your best teammate while you were with the Sox?
Hands down, 100%, Tony Clark.
Huh, really?
Yeah, Tony Clark, first baseman, head of the players. And just because he's a stand-up person, he's a devout Christian. He didn't talk about it. He walked it. He's that, like, the Buddha in the clubhouse, to where it's like, you could not want to go to his locker and sit next to him and seek his wisdom and his counsel and his love and connection and all that stuff. But with that being said, ton of great teammates, you know, all the way from Tech to Wakefield to Pedro Martinez, absolutely my favorite pitcher to play behind. Pedro Martinez, hands down, without a doubt. He made me want to freaking crush people when I was out there in the field.
And by the way, Tony Clark, not a bad basketball player either. Played at my University of Arizona basketball, too. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We talked about that all the time. And you know, when he played first base, he told me, he says, if you throw the ball over my head, you suck. Because I got about a 10-foot wingspan, so just throw it and I can pick it. So that's one of the things I remember with him playing first base.
Shea Hillenbrand, former Red Sox third baseman, a former All-Star in Boston. He's here with us on The Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Shea, you mentioned being a guy who was really, really intense, having a streak to you that made you suitable for Boston. When you look back at your time playing, did you have enough fun, you think?
Absolutely not. And that's a great question. And not many people ask that question. And and it becomes a job. And the stress and the pressure to go out there and perform every night was asinine. I mean, my last year was 2007. I'm in a totally different season of my life right now, and I'm completely a different person. I've evolutionized into a totally new creation through a lot of hard work, but absolutely 100% never did I have fun. I mean, I hit that game-winning home run off Mariano Rivera at Fenway. I take three steps out of the box. I celebrate. Yeah! I'm rounding the bases and the ground shaking because arguably the greatest fans in baseball, the Fenway faithful, are bringing down the house. And all my teammates went out that night to party with them. And what did I do? I went straight home because I didn't think I was good enough. Mm. I didn't celebrate. I never allowed myself to be present. You know, we get paid on the 1st and the 15th every 2 weeks, and I never sat there once and said, wow, I'm living my dream and I'm making millions of dollars. Never.
Wow.
It was a struggle. And I think that's a common thing across the board with a lot of players. And you can see it with those boys that can't produce in Boston. It's tough for them, man. That's a team, but certain players that go there that are trying to be hot rods or primetime players or stuff like that. You know, it's just you got to be careful in Boston, man. The fans just take care of you.
Shay, you know what's crazy is I think I might have been on the field with you the last time you ever wore a Red Sox uniform. The Cooperstown, the Cooperstown Hall of Fame Classic a couple years ago, you played in it. I was the bullpen catcher at that game, and we we actually met at breakfast. So what's it like for you to be able to represent the Red Sox out in the community and things like that?
It's special. It's an honor. And, you know, I played there before they won, and there would have been no greater feeling than to be on that 04 team when the Sox lost to the Yankees in 2003 in the playoffs, the AL Division Series. I've had a handful of players that called me and said, man, if we would have had you, we would have won. Because I had the third highest active batting average in Yankee Stadium when I played. I loved being on stage, and that's just it's part of the game, it's part of the business, and it's something that I will always cherish. So when I think of baseball, I mean, I was on a cruise with my family 4 months ago in the middle of the Pacific Ocean down to Mexico, and I had a lady come up to me, and she said, "Oh my gosh, Shea Hillenbrand." I'm like, "What? What happened? Did I not pay a bill? Is someone coming after me, or did something happen to my kids?" They're like, "No. Red Sox." Red Sox. I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool." I'm like, "You still remember me from that?"
Oh, I love it. You know, Shay, you mentioned sometimes you weren't a good teammate. You didn't have fun. For some reason, I thought of David Price. I don't even know if you know him, but, man, he doesn't sound like he's having fun out there, even making $100-plus million, you know?
That comes with a big responsibility, guys. And I know David Price, and I know what kind of person he is. And, you know, It is what it is, and it's tough to explain that to Red Sox fans or people in the Northeast. But, you know, we deal with that with Zach Greinke here in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's making $200 million. And it's just like the pressure that they put on themselves. You know, Pujols did that when he went to Anaheim. You know, the $300 million, like the pressure that they put on themselves. That guy wants to produce. You know, so when he walks on an airplane and he's got a Hall of Famer calling him out, like, you're on edge. It's nothing personal against, you know, the Hall of Famer. What it is, it's like, it's hard to be real and it's hard to be a person. A lot of people forget that we're people.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris Davis is in an all-for-lifetime slump. I mean, geez, what would you say to him? It's starting to get uncomfortable, what's going on with him.
Enjoy life. It's not going to last forever. Invest your money. The game's not going to last forever. It's not that big of a deal.
Oh.
I've had a lot of success on the field. I've had a lot of highlights. I've played in a perfect game, two no-hitters, all-star games. And talking to you right now at 43 years old, for myself personally, it's meaningless. It's just a memory.
Wow.
That's all it is. It's experiences. And he's blessed to have an opportunity to make a tremendous amount of money. And it's tough because guys like that put pressure in themselves. I mean, you put a ton of pressure on yourselves. He wants to produce. But when you go to that point, you're not going to produce. So. Just got to keep grinding, man. Just lucky he's not playing at Fenway.
Shay, tell us about your experience on House Hunters. What's that been like?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole damn show's fake, man. It's ruined all reality. Oh, I shouldn't say that on ESPN radio, but, you know, it's reality TV. My wife and I always watched House Hunters. We're on both episodes, House Hunters International. We own a condo in Mexico.
Rocky Point. Rocky Point, I've been down there a bunch of times. I don't remember, but I've been down there.
It's awesome because we have a little baseball academy down there, and we run it through my nonprofit foundation Against All Odds, and it's cool, but it's staged, man. They tell you what to say. They take your furniture out. You have to own the house before you do it.
Oof.
And they want to get you to fight. You know, my wife almost walked off set three different times because she got an argument with the director because they wanted her to say stuff that wasn't true. One of the houses was our friend's houses, and I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, "Dude, it's 14-hour days of filming for 5 days straight." And I'm like, "Sweetheart, this is reality TV. It's fake. Just say whatever. I don't care. Like, it's fake." And my mom and my brother called me, and they're like, "Oh, my gosh, they made you look out to be so stupid." And I'm like, "I don't care. It's fake. It's all good.
Shay, tell us about the charity work that you've been doing, because we're very interested in that.
Yeah, I have a foundation called Against All Odds, and what we do is we just use baseball as a platform. We're pouring into these kids, and, you know, I'm doing other stuff, too, as a profession as well for my main revenue stream of income. But my nonprofit foundation, yeah, like I said, is against all odds, and we're running a baseball academy in Mexico. I work with kids in Canada, and we're just using it to teach life lessons, man. We're building schools down in Mexico. With that in the site, we have dormitories. We're teaching these kids English, just pouring into them, man. Like, it's funny because that's who I am, and that's not how I portray myself when I played. So I had that internal struggle my whole career with that, and I was always stuck.
Wow, what a great story. Shea Hillenbrand, everybody, former Red Sox third baseman, spent 3 years in Boston, made an All-Star game back in 2002. This was great, Shea. We've got to do it again. You're a lot of fun, and I want to wish you the best of luck. Anything we could do for you, please give us a call anytime.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you so much.